Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I count it an honor, a blessing to be able to join you once more and share the Word of God with you, the things that He has placed upon my heart, the things that He has opened up my understanding to. We will start this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. It says this, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, speaking unto Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. When we come into the New Testament, in John chapter 7 and verse 40, we read this. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be the one that would fulfill the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. He would be that prophet like unto Moses. If Jesus is that prophet that scripture declared to be like unto Moses, then we should see a parallel between their lives. We looked at the parallels in their life on Tuesday. Today we want to focus on their both being called to build a tabernacle, a dwelling place for God by His Spirit. We read the scripture, Exodus chapter 25 and verses 8 and 9. It says this, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I showed thee. Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle according to the pattern that he saw in the heaven. But when we read the scripture, we see that there were many other vessels that God would use, people, brothers and sisters, that would have part in the building of this tabernacle. The inspiration that God had given to Moses would have to be given unto these people also. What we see is that Moses would hear the voice of God, then the Lord would make this information, would take this information and inspire it to the hearts of others. It is the transmission of a vision. It begins with God. It goes to Moses. Then it goes to two men, Bezalel and Aholiab. And then we read that it went on to wise-hearted men. And then it also went to women. This pattern would be repeated in the ministry of Jesus Christ. The first two are obvious. The first one in both instances is God. The first instance, it's God and Moses, but then we read in the New Testament, it is God giving the inspiration to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, says this, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So God is the great architect, and he would place the picture of a church to come into the heart of Jesus Christ. In headship, we see that two shall become one. It speaks about relationship, unity, and purpose. Amen. So then we would ask the question, who are these two men, Bezalel and Aholiab? As I thought upon this, many ideas could come to our mind about these two men. At first, I thought about Peter and Paul, the great impact they had upon the construction of the church. Peter would have the keys to the kingdom, and he would open up the door not only to the Jewish people, but to the Samaritans and Gentiles also. Paul, he called himself the wise master builder. So these two men had a tremendous impact upon the not only the early church, but the church throughout the ages of time. Others could look at the spirit of Elijah, which in the Bible it's referred to as the friend of the bridegroom. We would have John the Baptist in the beginning in his declaration of Jesus Christ. And then we see William Branham in the last age, two men, both with the spirit of Elijah, to turn hearts back unto God and to point men to Jesus Christ. But the order the Lord placed upon my heart can be found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. It says this, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. And this is what we're looking at, the construction of the New Testament temple, a tabernacle, a dwelling place for God. It says in verse 22, in whom you also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The foundation of the apostles and prophets speak of more than just men. It speaks of the scriptures, the word of God, that God would inspire upon the hearts of these men. The scriptures are the revelation of the mind of God, his plan, and his purpose. What is key is to get a complete view of who Christ is and the plan of redemption, and to understand the mystery of God, which is the church, we must be able to blend together the Old and New Testaments. Today in many churches, in many Christian circles, people don't really care much for the Old Testament, but the Old Testament was written for a purpose. It's written for our learning, for our instruction. It's written in such a way that we can truly understand not only who Jesus Christ is, but who we are. The scriptures declare him and declare his plan and purpose for us. This is the authority we must all be under, not literal man, but the voice of God. Many times this will come through man, but we see it in the scriptures. The scriptures are our absolute, the foundation, but the foundational principles of who we are. Then we see after these two men, we see the same order here. It would be God, then Jesus, the apostles and prophets, and then the wise-hearted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, we read this, "For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Here it is again, a tabernacle, a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." We also read in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." These are the wise-hearted men. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." What we see here is the ministry must have the same vision. They must obtain the same vision of what God is desiring in his church and have the ability to transmit this information unto his people. We are brothers, fellow laborers in the work together. We have different callings. I read in the scriptures that one time the people, they started arguing, who are they going to follow? One says, "I am of Apollos, I am of Paul." No doubt, Apollos had a tremendous ministry if he is being compared to the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul heard about these divisions within the church, "I am of Apollos, I am of Paul," his conclusion was, "What you are is you are carnal." Because it's not important the man, the vessel. The important thing is that we are able to hear the voice of God through a vessel. No doubt there will be men that we will be closer to, and no doubt there will be ministries that touch our heart in a better way, but we need to recognize when God is speaking. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, it says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." I think this is an important point here. Revelation is faith, and faith is hearing, and not only hearing, but doing. It's a sad thing when we hear the word of God, but we do not apply it to our life. It really becomes vanity. We need to hear and do. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." The rock of revelation of the word of God. But it's important we need to abide in our calling. I see this around the world that sometimes men want to be teachers when it's really not their calling. I saw this scripture once. It's in James chapter 3 and verse 1, and I really like the way it's worded in the New International Version. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." If God has called us to teach his people, it will become very important that we would speak the words that God would give us, not share our own personal understanding, but really the word of God. And we will be judged more strictly because not only is it what we see, but what we are presenting to the people as the word of God and his voice. Amen. So we need to abide within our calling, not try to fulfill somebody else's calling. The next would be the women. And the women is a glorious church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, we read this: "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish." When we read about the women, it was a willing heart, and that's what we have to have also as a church, a willing heart, a law written within our hearts. What it becomes critical to our understanding is this: the people need to catch the same vision as the ministry, and the ministry as Christ himself. And within this vision, there has to be a sacrifice. We have to lay down our lives to fulfill God's plan and his purpose. His purpose, his plan, must be preeminent in our life more than our own wants and desires. There's a scripture in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. I love this scripture. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." What we see in this verse, it is the Lord that is able to open a heart. But once the Lord has opened her heart, it says this: she attended to the words of Paul. She heard Paul's words, but no doubt she was hearing the voice of God. When we look into the book of Revelation, we can look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." This admonition was given to each and every church age. It's critical that we would be able to hear the voice of God and be able to recognize the vessel that God is using to bring it to our hearts. This ability to communicate, this is the ability for us to communicate with God, and this will be the rock the church will be built upon. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says this: "Through faith we understand." It's through hearing the voice of God that we are brought, that God would bring understanding to our hearts. Who is the we? It is the New Testament church, but it's been this way throughout time. It's always been from the time of Abraham, even before Abraham. It was by faith that a man would walk with God. And what is faith? It is the ability to hear the voice of God and the willingness to follow the voice that we would hear. This is the rock that the gates of hell will never be able to prevail against. Satan can't stop the secret communication between God and his people. No prison walls or denominational teachings can ever prevail against it. Old Testament and New Testament saints alike, all by faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read this in verse 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing also we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." The question could be asked, what did all these people have in common? When we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, "By faith Abel," 5, "by faith Enoch," verse 7, "by faith Noah." The key here is they're all hearing and doing. Verse 8, "by faith Abraham," 11, "through faith also Sarah," 17, "by faith Abraham," 20, "by faith Isaac," 21 by faith Jacob, 22 by faith Joseph, 23 by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. What is it? The faith of his parents. 24 by faith Moses, 29 by faith they passed through the Red Sea. This is talking about the children of Israel. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, Joshua and the children of Israel. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab, even outside of the promises of God to the nation of Israel, this woman could take hold of the promise of God through faith. And verse 32 says this, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets. Verse 33, who through faith, and I like this, and 36, and there were others. Verse 39, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, because why? Without faith it is impossible to please him. And let me say this, by faith we too can be victorious. By faith we hear the voice of God. By faith we can recognize the vessel that God is speaking through. By faith we become an overcomer, yea, more than an overcomer, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We will close here and conclude the message tomorrow. Who art thou? I hope you can see yourself in the scriptures. May God give you a blessed day. We love you, appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Till we meet again, God's blessings upon your life.